Have your Bibles this morning. Let's turn to John chapter 6. We're going through the book of John together. And it's the title of the message this morning is Simplify. Talking about the new year coming up. We have become experts at panic, busyness. I believe that God is calling us to simplify our lives. Get back to the basics. Last year, I caught a note that I wrote the first day of the year. It says, so far this year, I've done well. I haven't gossiped, haven't lost my temper, haven't been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. I'm very thankful for that. But in a few minutes, Lord, I'm going to get out of bed, and from then on, I'm probably going to need a lot more help. Just kidding, I did not write that. Got some wise words to start the new year. The early worm gets eaten. There's no pleasure in having nothing to do. What's fun is having lots to do and not doing it. Little wisdom, never argue with a fool. People may not know the difference. And lastly, you can't skip and be unhappy at the same time. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, God, that it's enriching us, enriching our lives. Father, it's right there at our fingertips to read and to receive. Father, we thank you for the reception already of your Holy Spirit this morning moving amongst us. God, now enhance your word. Enlighten us, Father, according to your loving kindness and mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 6, after these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover feast of the Jews was near, and Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" This he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? And then Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish as much as they wanted. Underline, as much as they wanted. That's awesome. And they were filled. He said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. And therefore they gathered them up and 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. And those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. Jesus reaches out and feeds 5,000 people with a miracle. You know, it occurred to me when I was reading this again for the many times I've read this passage, never doubt the power of God. Yeah. I mean, we just entertained 20 people at the house, and you would have thought the President of the United States was coming. My wife wanted to make sure that everything was clean, even things that people never see had to be clean. We prepared, started cooking 2 days before. Made sure all the meals were okay, the desserts okay, the food's okay, the placemats were okay, the dishes are okay, the forks are clean. Come on, somebody. Yeah. We fed 20 people. It was work. Come on, how many entertained this past holiday? Come on. It's work to entertain. Can you imagine having to feed 5,000 people with only 5 loaves, a couple fish? But Jesus made it look easy. You know why he made it look easy? Because he's Jesus. Unless we get all disturbed, I know we're talking about a lot of things that may occur this coming year, 2015, I think holds a lot of surprises for us. But we have to trust Jesus.
Amen.
Never doubt the power of God to deliver. Jesus already knew, the Scripture tells us. He asked Simon Peter, he said, how are we going to feed these? He said, well, not even this much money will feed this crowd. And Andrew pitched in there and said, hey, you know, this guy's got some loaves and fish. And Jesus said, it's enough. Jesus, there's 5,000 men plus women and children. There's probably 10, 11, 12,000 people that we have to feed. We always say 5,000. There's a lot more. And I don't know about you, but teenagers can eat a lot. And the Scripture says they took all that they wanted.
Yeah.
And Jesus made it look easy. He blessed the bread. He broke it and distributed it to his disciples. His disciples distributed it to the people, and they ate till they were filled and baskets were gathered. And I don't know about you, my friend, but that's a tremendous miracle. And if we would even try to do something like that in the natural, how many know? Feeding 10 or 11, 12,000 people? I don't think we could find a caterer to do that. But Jesus Christ did it, made it look simple. Simplify. We've got to trust God. The same God that served the 5,000 and fed the 5,000 men plus women and children is the same Jesus that you and I serve today. He hasn't changed.
Amen.
He's not walking around the earth. He's in us. The same Jesus that healed, the same Jesus that filled, the same Jesus is here today. He's here. That stuff was just warm up. I mean, after all, feeding 5,000 people, he was there when the children of Israel were fed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've heard me say 900 train cars filled every day with food to feed 2.5 million people for 40 years. 5,000? That's like brunch. What's he talking about? I fed 2.5 million people for 40 years, 5,000? We need to see things. It's imperative that we need to see things like Jesus sees things. We need to simplify. Things get so complicated in our world. We want to complicate things. God, don't you see? I don't have enough month at the end of my money. God, I've got this problem at work, or I have this problem in the relationship, right? God says, man, I've been handling problems since before you were even thought about. In fact, I've got this thing in hand.
Glory.
Simplify. Let's read there. In verse 15, it says, therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone. He perceived something about this miracle that he had done. They were right away ready to make him a king. Now, these were people that heard the story about the 2.5 million people getting fed with manna every day. They were so impressed by Jesus, they wanted to make him king, and he knew it. The difference between that then and now is they were trying to make him king. Listen, he is king.
That's right. Amen.
That's right.
Listen, he is king. And as a king, he knows every one of his subjects. As a king, he knows every one of his family. You're not known by God. He's not hard of hearing. He's not forgotten you. He knows where you're at. He knows what you need. Simplify. God, I set it on my mind, I set it in my heart that I'm not going to worry about this next year. Worry and anxiety are gone.
Hallelujah.
I'm not fearing the future. Fear involves torment. I don't want to be tormented. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Now is a good time to assess the reasons you are serving God. Are you serving them for what you can get? These people were turned on, man. It was hard to get food then, just like it is now. You had to work for it. You had to plant seed. You had to wait. And here Jesus fed them from nothing. I mean, the buzz got around.
Yeah.
Hey man, were you part of that feeding frenzy they had out there in the field? There was 5,000 men. And yeah, man, I was there. Man, that was the best fish I ever had. Well, tell me, are the disciples going to open a restaurant? Because I want to invest in that. It's a good time to assess the reasons you're serving God. God will take care of you. Trust Him. Jesus is Lord of all. The recognition of that He leaves to us. He doesn't need to prove He's Lord. He is Lord. He doesn't need to prove He's a King. He is King. He doesn't need to prove He's a sustainer of life. He sustains life. It's no proving time. It's what you believe. The ball, the proverbial ball, is in our court of what we believe Him to do. He showed the disciples, man. He said, I'm going to simplify. And then it says that He went into a mountain by Himself for prayer, and the disciples got into a little boat, and they went across the sea there. 2 or 3 miles out, you can read it later, they were rowing against the storm, and they look, and here comes Jesus walking on the water. Now listen, I just made a trip down to see my grandchildren down in South Carolina. It was a long trip. 12-hour drive. Love it when I can spend time with my wife. We had a great time, but it was a long drive, a long trip. Hit some rain, hit some... Jesus simplified life. He wasn't worried about a boat. It goes on to say that, you know, the people knew that there was only 2 boats and Jesus didn't get in there. And when they got over there, there was no extra boat, but there was Jesus. And they said, how did you get here? Let's read it together. Let's read His response, because His response is awesome. He said, how did you get here? On the following day, when the people in verse 22 said, who were standing on the other side of the sea, saw that there was no other boat there except that one which the disciples had entered, that Jesus had not entered the boat with His disciples, but His disciples had gone away alone. And they asked Him in verse 25, Rabbi, when did you come here? And Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek Me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal on Him. And they said to Him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent. What? What? We just saw you feed all these people. How did you get here? I mean, His disciples are probably whispering, we'll tell you how He got here. He's walking on the ocean, man. He's walking on the sea there. I mean, you can't keep something like that quiet. Jesus didn't even bother answering them. Rabbi, how did you get here? When did you arrive? He said, you're seeking Me for something physical, and I'm telling you that you should seek after the spiritual. Simplify. God promised He would take care of us. You and I are taken care of. God, we're His children. There's nothing that we can face, even death, that would scare us. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? We don't have anything to fear. There's nothing to worry about. Anxiety and we get caught up in all these things. We live in an information age. Rabbi, when did you come here? Even bothered to ask or answer. So he went down to the sea. Jesus had departed, and they went to do the next thing, rowing across the sea. It was dark and Jesus was not yet visible. Listen, the absence of Christ and stormy conditions are very real. Sometimes we lose focus on Christ and storms will come. But don't give up hope. God's still there. He said He'd never leave nor forsake. Situations may stop our ears and blind our eyes momentarily, but we pray through until we see and hear the grace and the anointing of God.
Amen.
Self-will and ill-gotten information can result in darkness and storm. The disciples had just seen him turn water to wine, feed thousands of people. He's walking across the ocean. What do they do? He walked across the sea. What do they do? They got scared. Another gospel says they thought it was a spirit. Thought it was a ghost. Come on, somebody. I mean, you're walking with this guy. You're sleeping with this guy. You're eating with this guy. Heavenly food that he made from the heavenly diner. And you're in a boat, and you wonder who is that? It's Jesus. See, we need to recognize Jesus. He doesn't come like everybody else. Look, we don't need to get on Facebook at 1 o'clock in the morning and say, "Man, I'm having a bad time. Please, somebody pray for me." Jesus doesn't have a Facebook account. He's as near as our breath. And when he shows up, you can read it. When he showed up, they willingly let him into the boat. Willingly. And immediately they were on the other side. No more rowing, no more effort, no more. Jesus got them there. Are you starting to see a trend here? They got fed and they ate everything that they wanted. Well, get all spiritual on me and say, "God doesn't give us everything we want, just everything we need." I understand that. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. They ate till they're filled. Some people can eat a lot more than others. Turn to somebody and say, "He's talking about you." Come on, somebody. You can pack it away, buddy. They ate till they were filled. No more oaring, no more working. Jesus got into the boat and immediately they were on the other side. Hallelujah. Simplify. This was no big deal to Christ. This was, he made life look easy. Yeah. Amen. Can you imagine sending 12? Let's just go back for a second. It just boggles my mind. I'm thinking about all these people he got to feed, let's send it inside. I mean, what if he did it in the natural? Man, they would have had to go and get caravans and camels and things and deals. And Jesus called me, you know, the taxi canoe. "Hey, get me over there on the other side of Gennesaret because I got to get there." No, he fed thousands. He walked on water. It's the same Jesus that you and I said. You say, "Well, my situation is different. My situation, I'm facing some very difficult times." It's peanut butter and jelly to Jesus. So it can be a while, but Christ will come when it is time. Wait on Him. I've often wondered when I read that, you know, the disciples were straining against the storm 2 or 3 miles out. He could have given them a break and got there when it was a mile. Or a half mile, or forget the whole thing, just get in the boat and get us over there. Or forget the boat, just get us over there. We talk about a miracle, but guess what? It was some time. I challenge you, when the weather gets nice, go out on some lake and row 2 or 3 miles. See how long it takes you. Come on. My rotator cuff already hurts. It had to work. They had to wait on God. It was dark. It was stormy. Jesus showed up and everything was okay. Jesus is seldom early and never late. He shows up exactly when it's time to show up. Waiting is a learned response to the unknown. God will reveal the answer when it's time. Trust Him. Simplify. Don't get bogged down with all kinds of questions. Like these guys. "Rabbi, when did you come?" He said, "It's not about that." Waiting is not a sign of weakness. It's the opposite. Waiting is a sign of strength. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. There's something about waiting that strengthens the Christian. If he answered everything just in microwave fashion, we'd be weak. We're strong when we wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord. His disciples got their workout. But when he came, he made all things right. Because they did not recognize him did not mean that he would not make himself known. He said, "Don't be afraid, it is I." Sometimes Jesus answers prayer in weird ways. Come on, somebody. I just had a miracle the other day. We had some things happen this last couple of months and spent a little bit more money out of the budget. And all of a sudden, now how many people get an IRS check in December? Anybody ever? I got an IRS check for lots of money. So I overpaid the IRS. Somebody honest sent me a check. I said, "God, this is the prayer," because I was waiting, lifted it up, answered, and he answered prayer. Well, for the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Come on, somebody. God will always supply. Waiting builds strength. Waiting builds fortitude. Waiting builds character. Waiting builds maturity. Verse 22. On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there, they questioned him. "Rabbi, when did you come here?" You know, the question is still being asked. Jesus does not need to come in the conventional way. His plans do not necessarily include using you. He draws attention to himself on purpose. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. Wasn't about when he got there. And then he said in verse 26, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Many seek him for what he can do. He can do anything. But that's not why we seek him. Others seek him for what they can receive. "Give me, give me, give me. My name is Jimmy. I'll take all you can give me." Come on, somebody. Yeah. "Ooh, God, I'm ready to get blessed. Bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord." Lord said, "I haven't heard your voice in a month of Sundays. Who are you again?" Come on, somebody. Disciples, true followers of Christ, seek him for who he is. Because if you seek his face, if you seek him for who he is, he'll provide for you. He'll do the miracles for you. You'll receive what you need. "Do not labor," Jesus said, "for food that perishes. These things are given." He says, labor for the food which endures. Simplify. Look to God. Build a relationship with him. Be spiritual. Don't be so earthly minded. You're no spiritual good. Spiritual good at all. Food enduring. Everlasting truths that will sustain us way past this earthly existence. The information that you and I get from the throne will last for an eternity. The information we get off of the social media will last until the next information. How many of you realize some of the chaos and some of the stuff that we're facing right now as a nation is because everybody's an expert? That's right. Everybody's, you know, they just need to give themselves a name. The new news. The only news. The news you'll want to hear.com. People send me stuff all the time. You know, and I say, "Well, where's this guy from? I mean, See, we're asking Jesus, how did you get it? Where did you come from? But we take information from people we never met as if it's gospel. "Oh, there's all kinds of rioting in Missouri. Missouri's going to call out the federal guard, you know, are going to come, and martial law is going to..." Well, who told you that? Come on, somebody. We're immensely, immensely rammed all the time with all kinds of information. Looking at both digital memory and analog devices, the researchers calculate that humankind is able to store at least 295 exabytes of information. For those of you who don't, I didn't know what it was either. It's a number with 20 zeros in it. Put another way, if a single star is a bit of information, that's a galaxy of information for every person in the world. Just to give you further, that's 315 times the number of grains of sand in the world. But it's still less than 1% of the information that is stored in all the DNA molecules of a human being.
Wow, all right.
2002 could be considered the beginning of the digital age. The first year worldwide digital storage capacity overtook total analog capacity. As of 2007, almost 94% of our memory is in digital form. In 2007, humankind successfully sent 1.9 zettabytes of information through broadcast technology such as televisions and GPS. That's equivalent to every person in the world reading 174 newspapers every day. On two-way communications technology such as cell phones, humankind shared 65 exabytes of information. Through telecommunications in 2007, the equivalent of every person in the world communicating the contents of 6 newspapers every day. In 2007, all the general purpose computers in the world computed 6.4 times 10 to the 18th power instructions per second. In the same general order of magnitude as the number of nerve impulses executed by a single human brain. Doing these instructions by hand would take 2,200 times the period since creation began. Are you there? You know, are you there? I mean, how many have sat down and started to look at the news and 2 hours later you haven't exhausted? I mean, you look at Facebook and you're an hour of all these experts and pundits. The information, we're on information overload. From 1986 to 2007, the period of time examined in the study I just read you, worldwide computing capacity grew 58% a year, 10 times faster than the United States gross national product. In this world of information, we kill, steal, and control others to stay on top of the heap. Information sells. Good information sells more. Terrible information is off the chart. Everybody wants to hear the latest doom, gloom, and come on, somebody. Bad news travels fast. We all have become information junkies. News and revelations. And again, I ask you, why would we believe the things that are said on TV when they stay on the subject until it sells? That's what they're paid to do. 24/7 news and information is so clogged, and we get experts. I was over at the hospital the other day. I don't have TV at broadcast TV anymore, so I was over in the waiting room and I was watching Fox News, and they had people on there with their opinions. I never met them before. Who are you? Expert in terrorism. I don't know if you're an expert in terrorism or they got you off the cameras and put a suit and tie on you and put you there and said, say this. But I build relationships with people that I understand and that I know and that I love, and I build relationship with my Lord. I want to hear what God's saying.
Amen.
The same God that gave the information about the 5,000, the same God that walked on the water, the same God that answered prayer, the same God that healed, lives in me. I don't need a bunch of useless news from people that I don't know and shouldn't trust.
Amen.
Simplify. Oh, well, you don't know this person that wrote to you. How do you know that person? How do you know the information? Why receive a blog as the truth? It's a blog. It's somebody's opinion. Opinions like are like armpits. Everybody has a couple. Come on, somebody. I want to know what Jesus is saying. He's not holding back information from me. And you know what? Sometimes the information is none of my business. Jesus, how did you bless the broken, distributed? How did you do that? None of your business. Christ does not want us to be ignorant, but also does not want us polluted by the world and its truths. I first got saved, I heard this statistic. 50% of marriages end up in divorce. How many have heard that statistic? How many believe that's true? No, it's not. Started as a false concept. Will be false for the rest of eternity. But we said it long enough, or it's true. Spokesperson for the U.S. National Center for Health Statistics said the rumor appears to have originated from a misreading of facts. It was true, he said, if you looked at all the marriages and divorces within a single year. The first year they did it was 1981. 2.4 million marriages and 1.2 million divorces. At first glance, that would seem like a 50% divorce rate. Virtually none of those divorces were among the people who had married during that year, however, and the statistic failed to take into account the 54 million marriages that already existed, the majority of which would not see divorce. Another source for the 50% figure could be those who were trying to predict the future of divorce. Based on known divorce records, they projected that 50% of newly married young people would divorce. University of Chicago socialist and researcher Linda Waite told USA Today that the 50% divorce stats were based more on assumption than facts. But they've said it long enough where the divorce rate has escalated to almost 34% now in areas because people bought the lie that one out of two marriages won't last. Faith has got them where they are. It's quiet in here. See, we all perpetrate. There's been seminars. I went to a conference when I was first a pastor. Well, how do we stop this 50% divorce? It never was true. How much other information that we get is not true? Simplify. We see life through the eyes of God, things will change. Amen. I don't care if the divorce rate's 95%. I love my wife, committed. When I said forever, I mean forever. Jesus Christ gave me forever. Come on, somebody. We just make up our minds. Jesus said what God has put together, let no man put asunder. And I don't want to make you feel bad for having failed relationships. It's not what this is about. It's releasing our faith to believe God. Simplify. Let's read in verse 29. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent. Therefore they said to Him, what sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to Him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to Me shall never hunger, and he who believes in Me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen Me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives Me will come to Me, and the one who comes to Me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do My own will, but the will of Him who sent Me. This is the will of the Father who sent Me, that of all He has given Me, I should lose nothing. I love how He uses all, everything, and nothing. But should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of Him who sent Me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day.
Glory.
What a wonderful, what a wonderful sermon, man. This guy's preaching. He makes promises that He can back up. You can take it to the bank. He says, He who comes to Me, I will by no means cast out. I'll take care of him. He'll never hunger. He'll never thirst. That's the God that we serve. And the hungry and thirsty we go through is because of lack of faith and doubt. Quiet in here. This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent. Just simply believe Him. He's here. He's right here in you. Simply believe Him. He is able to handle anything that lies ahead. Give your future to Christ. This year in 2015, God, I'm going to simplify. God, I'm going to believe You to take impossible situations and change them. Giving Him the past is little faith. It doesn't take much faith to give Him the past. The past is gone. We'll never get it back. Giving in the present is great faith. God, I'll believe You for my next breath. But giving Him the future is the greatest faith. Oh my goodness, what's going to happen? Oh my goodness, what's going to happen? Look at the banks, look at the debt, look at the thing. Oh my goodness, look at my car, look at the thing. What's going to happen tomorrow? Oh my. Release your faith. Release your faith. Christ is able. Christ is able. Simplify. They relied on the past to give them information on the present. They said, what signs will You do? Our fathers were fed in the wilderness by God. Anytime we compare the solution of today to a past historical event, we lose faith. Come on, somebody. We put God in a box. Well, God, how are we going to take Rochester and march around it 7 times? Did God tell us that? He told the children of Israel to do that. That was His instruction. Did they ever march around another city? Was that in the Ark of the Covenant? 10 commandments plus, whenever you have trouble with the city, march around it 7 times for 7 days. And on the 7th day, march around it 7 times and then blow your trumpet and I'll give you the city. When did it say it ever happened again? It's quiet in here. Those things are written to build our faith, but that doesn't mean God has to do that exact thing. Are you there? You're looking at me like you're angry with me. Come on. God can do anything in any fashion, in any way. It's up to Him how He answers the prayer. We just pray. God, and they were trying to put Him in a box. They said, our fathers were fed by manna in the wilderness. Show us a sign. Let manna show up. He said, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven. My Father gives the bread from heaven. Don't try to solve problems by asking God to do something the same way He did it before. Come on, somebody. God's not in the formulas. He's in the relationship.
Amen.
So I want to close. I want to take some time to pray for you. I want the elders to come and pray for you, because we need to step into this year 2015. There's a lot to do. How many know there's a lot to do in the kingdom?
Yeah.
We're going to be busy. But we need to simplify. God, I want to jettison all the other stuff. So here's just some suggestions for you. Number one, don't try to solve problems that you have no control over. Pray. Come on. We need to pray for our nation.
Amen.
But all the blogs in the world, all the entries in the Facebook in the world are not going to solve the problem. It's a God-sized problem. Only God can take care of it. Mind your own business. Stay informed, but do not conform. Nobody's asking you to stick your whole head in the sand. Stay informed, but don't conform. Scripture says in Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 says that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Now that's pre-cell phone days, so that was just for them. After all, we've got to keep up on the information. My smartphone buzzes, I've got to answer it. No, this is timeless. It's the living word. Aspire to lead a quiet life. Mind your own business. I just went through my... I've got Facebook. I love keeping in touch with my kids. I see my little granddaughter all the time. Man, she's a cutie. Her eyes turned from blue to brown, by the way. Don't know how that happens, but... She had blue eyes like me. Now she's got brown eyes, so I'm bummed. But I went through and blocked a bunch of people off my Facebook account. I don't want to hear it. It's not that I'm being rude. It's I don't want to hear it. It's drama. It's soap opera all every day. I don't need that. Come on, somebody. Simplify. Limit your social media time. If you miss something, you'll be okay. Well, it'll be okay if you miss something. Number four, spend more time communicating verbally. Lack of human touch brings a hardness of heart. Stop texting, for Pete's sakes. Why do you text? I do the same thing. I understand texting if somebody's busy, but why don't you just pick up the phone and talk? I want to hear your voice. My son texted me the other day. I texted him back and says, call me. Here's my number. Simplify. Everything has become, I feel like I'm, you know, I see these young people texting and typing with their thumbs, man. I have to poke on a typewriter. Well, that shows my age. There's no typewriters on the computer. Number four, eat more bread. Spend daily time with Christ. Everybody got a Bible reading plan for the month of January. We're going to go through the New Testament in 90 days. So this first month you have in your hand, if you don't pick one up on your way out, January we're going to go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. 30 days. It's fun. Come on, we're going to go through the whole New Testament in 90 days. Eat more bread. Spend daily time with Christ. If you do it for 28 days, you make a habit. Number six, proceed cautiously. Redeem the time. The days are evil. Watch what your eyes receive. Watch what your ears receive. Don't receive bad news. Come on, somebody, turn it off. You have an off button on all your devices, especially TV. I give you a suggestion. Don't watch it for about 6 months and then go back and look at it. It's an offense. Yeah. I haven't had TV for longer than that. The other day I was sitting watching programming and even the commercials. Redeem the time. And lastly, tell others about Christ. Let's open our minds up. Tell others about Jesus. We're believing for Friendship Sunday coming up. Friendship Sunday that you have in your Bibles. You're believing. You have the list. If you have your list with you, would you pull it out today? We want to simplify. We want to see other people be saved. Amen. Coming up on February 22nd, we're inviting people to come and see what our church is all about. Operation Andrew Cards, and we're believing God for to get folks saved. I just had one guy that's on my list. I just had a chance conversation. And got to sit and talk to him. He's a DJ on WROI. And so I get to see him once a month. And I was talking to him. And man, we had a great conversation about the Lord Jesus. Great conversation. Just enough. Put the right bait on the hook. They go chewing and you pull the bait away. Next time. Come on, somebody. Let's pray for them. Let's believe God for salvation. Father, we pray for those that we're believing for, God. Those that we had chance to talk to over the holidays, those that we yet have a chance to talk to, Father, help us to meet them face to face, to talk to them by phone or verbalize something to them, Father. Lord, grant our desire and our prayer to see them come, oh Father, to you. Lord, we believe you for salvation in their lives. God, we simplify by simply asking for their souls. God, we believe that you save them, that you'll draw them to yourself. We claim them in Jesus' precious name.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Now as we believe God with every eye closed, every head bowed, we believe you, God. Those that are here this morning, I don't know every one of them. Father, I ask, oh God, that you move on their hearts. If you're here this morning and you say, you know what? I'm not sure what kind of relationship I have with God. I want to renew it. I want to give my heart to Him maybe for the first time. Either way, I want to pray for you. I'm not going to call you up, do anything like that, but I am going to pray for you. Introduce you to the greatest person that ever lived, still alive, wants to come in your heart today. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Say, I want a relationship with Jesus Christ. And ask the elders to come, please, with their wives. Leadership, please come. I ask them to come, make that step today. Say, I just want to simplify. I want to put jettison all this difficult stuff. I want to start this new year. It's coming in a couple days. It's a great excuse to wait on you, God, to believe you for good things. So just come as the Spirit moves you, as we continue to worship for a little while. Just take some time. Mark this day as a day when all things will change. All things will become new. He is able. The same one that walked on the water, fed thousands, healed the sick, raised the dead. He's here this morning. He knows your cry. You are in no situation that's impossible. All things are possible to those who believe. Please come.
Wait for